What lay within the company building? We found the 7th level. The hole did lead there. We snuck in like mice, but in the dust, the tracks of so many animals, I would have guessed a menagerie or army had passed through there. Clandestine or not, that tunnel had been in use. But I saw no sign of the fox. We came out into a wide, high, featureless space, with the blocked-off entrance behind us, and an archway ahead leading to a warren of passageways and rooms. A sense of abandonment infected the corridor, the archway, even as a faint white glow from the walls hinted at an illumination via microorganisms that had faded over the years. An antiseptic smell had faded too, or been driven out by the musty, sharp scent of animal fur. The place had a sense to it of something about to reanimate but stuck, that it would never quite come back to life. Yet there was also a kind of thrum, or hum, or subtle, fracture-like vibration in the background. The room Wick hoped would help, with its stores of medicine, was only a corridor and a corner away. I propped Wick opposite the exit hole and followed his directions through the archway to the infirmary, only to find it ransacked. We had gotten there late. Whatever could be carted away had been taken. Medical instruments, fixtures, chairs, even the tabletops. But I was thorough. In a forgotten corner, I found 4 of the Nautilus pills. They looked old and shriveled. I gently picked them up with shaking hands and dusted them off. As ever, we would limp along. We would endure but not thrive. But I was grateful for that small mercy. 1 per month. I had bought Wick 4 months. Maybe 5 if he survived the venom. I took them along with the other dregs, just in case Wick could use them too. I was only gone 20 minutes. When I returned, Wick still lay there. I got down on a knee and made him take the Nautilus pill, which he reached for with gratitude, awareness, drawing in a deep breath.
"It's still down here. It's all still down here," he said, wheezing.
"But someone plugged up that stairwell for a reason," I said. "That lost doorway from this side looked sealed with cement or stone. Someone had done a thorough job."
"Did they?"
Either he'd reclaimed a piece of his former self from the medicine, or was more lucid because he had finally found an undamaged part of the company, a place he recognized as home. "Is there anything else down here, Wick?" I asked. "Something I should know about?"
"No," Wick said. "Take as many supplies as we can and leave."
But that's when I saw it, in the light, over the animal tracks, over my boot prints and Wick's, in that same dust, another pair of boot tracks, and no one else there with us in the corridor. "Who was here while I was gone, Wick?"
"No one."
"No one?"
"I didn't see anyone."
"Did you hear anyone?" Wick shook his head. There had been the sense of the level all around us as a vacuum bubble. No sound, so still and silent. And I had been lulled by the sudden generosity of air and space, but that feeling was gone now. I had only a knife on me. We had a desperate need for more supplies, food, water, anything the place could offer. I couldn't take Wick with me, would be unable to drag him back to the hole if he lapsed again. He still had bear venom in him. And I knew this place, I realized as I ventured farther. I'd walked these halls before, and I told myself it was because of the balcony cliffs. The way that Wick, due to some hidden impulse or nostalgia, had mapped our excavations of the balcony cliffs almost 1-to-1 to this level of the company building. Maybe I would never get to the bottom of Wick's secrets. I left Wick the knife, I brought him to the infirmary, hid him in a corner so he couldn't be seen from the doorway. I put the pack beside him, made him put the remaining Nautilus pills in his shirt pocket. I told Wick I would return soon, and I went exploring. I went to see what that place's version of the swimming pool might look like. Would it be disgusting? But mostly I was following the boot prints in the places where the dust revealed them and the light caught on their tread. I didn't know if it was the right decision, but it was my decision. As I went, I picked up the audience I had expected when I had gone to the infirmary. With each room I passed or looked into, I saw further evidence of their plans and their dominion. Their furtive steps joined mine. 2, then 3, then 6, keeping pace beside me, looking up at me in an unnerving way. The little fox that had followed Bourne, or its twin, mouth open, eyes glittering, and her companions, some of them in the guise of foxes and some not. All of these shadows in that shadowed land, and me feeling lucky I was just passing through, that they let me. I slipped through those hallways as easily as they did, like I belonged, or like I'd been here before. But I couldn't have been here before. Could I? I found her in what I will call the Hall of Mirrors. In another life, it would have held Wick's swimming pool, with all that fecundity of created life. Instead, there was just an artificial cavern, almost like an amphitheater, with a dull metal floor and stone walls and a rounded ceiling that disappeared into murky heights. At the far end, the half-light from a silvery wall. In front of the wall, a track for some kind of vehicle that had been pried up and stacked to the side, while in front lay a chaotic pile of upended plastic crates that had spilled open. Like everything on that level, the Hall of Mirrors had a smoothed-out feel, a generic quality as if all built out of a kit. How many other halls existed in different company facilities? Off to the left side stood the magician, contemplating that vision. I teetered between fight and flight, managed to quell both instincts. "Hello, Rachel," she said, not turning around. I would never know if she meant to make herself visible to me or had no choice because her camouflage was dying. What had clothed her from the top of her head to the bottoms of her feet now lingered and leaked as a kind of living cloak. It shared attributes with moths and chameleons and bird feathers. It whirred and sighed and clicked there on the magician's back, kept shifting and fluttering in a nervous way. It looked ragged and old and failing. I stepped closer, but not too close, my boots clacking on the metal floor. "Don't you speak anymore?" the magician asked, with a familiar note of imperious irritation. "Don't you want to say something? Ask what this thing is, for example?" gesturing at the silver wall. I didn't want to look at the wall. I was afraid if I did, I'd lose sight of the magician. I stepped closer, but still not too close. I could feel the lines of power, the traps waiting for me here, waiting for her here. I was well aware of the creatures at my back. Slowly, my eyes adjusted to the peculiar quality of that light and to the magician's darkness. She stood straight as ever, but she looked rough, and there were smudges on the side of her face, and her hair was wild. I wondered if she held herself so still because she was injured and didn't want me to know. "I saw you on the plane," I said. "I saw you fighting off a moored proxy. You probably injured your cloak then." "They have it in their furry heads. I took away Mord's wings," the magician said. "Didn't you?" The magician shrugged. weary, but with satisfaction in her voice. Maybe Moore just didn't want to fly anymore. Maybe he was tired of it. You were a fool to attack Mord, I said. A twisted smile in the gloom, a predatory look. I almost got away with it. I may still get away with it. Yes. It must be going well, your war with the proxies, for you to come all this way in person, I said. You sound like someone who doesn't want Mord to die, Rachel. How long have you been following us? I asked. I didn't care about the answer. I only wanted to know what she planned to do. But I also wanted a little time to think about what I was going to do. That's when she turned, and I saw again her face, but now aged by a decade in just 3 years. Hints of trauma, wear and tear, injuries. She had lost her bearings in some critical way, and I noticed, too, the trembling, the way she clenched her right hand as if making a fist against the pain. She was on the run. I knew the look by then. The Mord proxies had flushed her out around the time they'd attacked the balcony cliffs, I guessed, and things hadn't gone well for her. Long enough, she said. Since the cistern, let's say. Since I gave the bears your scent over at the balcony cliffs, let's say. But that's not important. This, she pointed at the silver wall, is very important, however. Something fabled, something precious. A thing they never talk about in the city because they barely talked about it inside the company. I saw that with her other hand she clutched something like a wireless control panel. She pushed a button. So few memories that told me about this place, she said. But still, the hint of it, was enough to want it to be real. The wall of silver became a river of silver raindrops, and then a frozen scene so real I couldn't accept I was looking at a kind of screen. It was like the holograms in the fancy restaurant from so long ago, but frozen on one scene, and one scene only. I have to hand it to your wick, the magician said. He kept this from me, and I didn't think he'd have the nerve, or that he'd know about it in the first place. I wonder if he kept it from you as well. Do you know how much he has kept from you, Rachel? The little foxes and their kin were slinking all around us by now and winking in and out of view as if slipping into and out of space, of time. She couldn't see that she was surrounded by a congregation, that she was surrounded by people of a kind. I had almost missed it myself, had misunderstood for too long. The magician pointed to the screen again. That's where it all went. What it was all for. They sent supplies through to us. They took and took from the city, and we sent products back. Not through a railway system or an underground tunnel, but through that. It was a pretty enough scene. From a place undamaged by war, untouched by ruination by the company. It kept flickering, stayed frozen but never came back into focus. But I could tell it was whole and functional and rich and all of the other things our city was not and might never be. But it also wasn't real, and it wasn't going to save us, any of us. And I refused to give it agency. Allow it into my reality. Things haven't gone into it for a few years, the magician said. By the time I realized it might exist, this level was just a myth, a rumor. And might as well be now, although they kept sending things through to us for a while, didn't they? Like those, gesturing at the boxes, what had dribbled out of them. I didn't think the magician had peered into the other rooms. She hadn't seen even the little I'd seen. What else the fox and her companions had ransacked, brought out into the city, or remade as their own. If she had seen all the tunnels dug into this level, from the base of walls, from ceilings, she had ignored that too. Ways in too small for a human being, but not for other beings. I used to dream that this was real, the magician said. I used to dream it was real, and I would be able to pass through to the other side. But there is no other side now. What a terrible pity. I could have done even more over there. Still, studying it may be of some use. No, the magician had come right here. This was the treasure for her. She wanted another chance at resurrection. She wanted another chance. And that took more biotech. And here we were, standing in a cavern on a level that, even stripped of most things, still contained enough treasures for someone like the magician to start over. With a little help. Who knows what will happen out in the city, Rachel? The magician said. No one can know what we'll return to. But I know you, Rachel. I know your life. We could make common cause. You could help me. I can protect you. I can make sure you want for nothing. You deserve that for leading me here. Would she next ask me to abandon Wick? Was she that desperate? I couldn't tell you. She stood there before me in her tattered cloak and asked me to join the same cause that destroyed children, that experimented on children, and told the world that there was a good reason, the way the world always wanted to be reassured, because that was the easier path. And the terrible thing is that it wasn't such a bad choice for me, looking at it with the eyes of a scavenger, a cutthroat. It was what had gained her so much power, providing security, food, territory. It had made her a leader. No matter what you thought of who she led and how, no matter that she was on the run, she was still alive. And I could tell you much more about your past, Rachel, than you even know. Those blank spaces, what you don't know, I know what they should contain. What would you have done, reader? Who has been able to follow me like the magician followed me? Invisible and ever watchful and without consequence. It is hard to explain how much I hated the company when I saw that place with the frozen mirror. My hatred had grown all through the journey and Wick's faltering, and how he still paid fealty in his way. Now it had become like my own fear within me, or like a wave that kept running through me as if for the first time, with the intensity of the first time. They had made us dependent on them. They had experimented on us. They had taken away our ability to govern ourselves. They had sent out to keep order a horrific judge grown ever more unmanageable and psychotic. They had dehumanized Wick. They had, in their way, created the magician, because everything she did and everything she created was in opposition to the company in some way. And, in the end, the remnants of the company had walled themselves off from us when they were done with us, when it became too dangerous, leaving those remnants to fend for themselves and negotiate with Mord an increasingly dangerous and impossible ceasefire, one that would never hold. All I would ever know of the heart of them was this fading injustice of a place. Was it somehow the future exploiting the past, or the past exploiting the future? Was that mirror scene from some other, thriving part of the world? Was it another version of Earth? I don't know. All I know or believe is that it was a door to elsewhere. That the company had come from some other place and been formed and deformed by it, and yet would always be embedded in our deepest history, against our will. Long after Moore died or was finally defeated, long after I was ash or rotting meat or buried in one of the magician's graves, we were on our own. We had always been on our own. We had no recourse, and I cannot tell you how much some part of me had wished to not be on my own, had hoped there would be some person, someone, down in the depths of the company who would have an answer, who still existed to explain it all, and who, if we asked them to, pleaded with them, would pull a lever or push a button to fix our situation, reset it, and bring forth everything afresh. But there wasn't. There was only, after a time, the recognition that the magician still stood beside me, that we were standing there among all the animals that had gotten in through the cracks, had dug their way in, had come back into the place that had created their destroyed and destructible lives. The rats in the walls, who were in the process of rewiring everything, changing everything, they were the future, but the magician hadn't realized it. She thought she was the future. The cascading silver wall, this door that only worked one way, showed an enticing snow globe of a scene by a mighty river, with docks and piers and a dazzling blue sky, with birds frozen in mid-flight amid the first signs of spring, and bright modern buildings on the land beyond that had never suffered war. A scene that would fill anyone from our ruined city with such yearning and, perhaps, recognition. It was so obvious a trap. The magician was still talking. The magician in that cavern was still trying to tell me things. Why I should join her. What this all meant. How the city could be saved from itself. But I heard no more from her. I hit the magician with a rock until she was dead. And the animals did nothing to stop me. Perhaps they would have done it themselves if I hadn't. But I did. There was no future for the city with the magician still in it. I may have been at my limits when I decided that. But my mind was clear. Funny how the magician thought she knew me, how careless she was around me because of that. But she didn't know me. She didn't know me at all. No matter how much she knew about me. And she couldn't know one other secret. I had already read Wick's letter. So really, you could say the magician never had a chance. But there was more than even Wick knew. And one thing he still hid from me, despite his letter. Wick had come here for a cure, for medicine. The magician had come here for biotech. To once more launch herself into the ambition of ruling the city. And I had been here as Wick's ghost, the person who haunted him every day of his life. We had all been too small in our thoughts, too small to realize what might be revealed to us if we really looked, if we really saw. Those spilled-over crates from the company contained a variety of items. Restocking of supplies to reassure the remnants. Raw material for creating more biotech to be shipped back. Food packets. Dead embryos to seed the city with more alcohol minnows. But the last shipment from the company had been born. Many borns. Hundreds had spilled out from the containers in front of the slow mirror. Marked as children's toys. But the diagram on the side of the containers did not match what had rolled out of the crates. Born pods. Dormant. Trapped here by whoever among the remnants had had the foresight to close off the level. Until the animals tunneled in. After I killed the magician, as the fox watched and did nothing, I ran my hands over the delicate mechanism that once controlled the silver wall. There had been no future for the city with the magician in it. But there also would have been no future if creatures from a secret shipment meant to absorb and sample had descended on the city in their hundreds. Had the company meant to destroy the city? Wipe it clean? Retrieve with the recon of what was absorbed? If so, it had failed. Everything that had spilled from those crates had been spiked, killed before it could live. There were only a handful that could have gotten out, and that could only have happened if the animals around me had wanted it to happen. If the fox had wanted it to happen. Had they tried more than once? Was born the first that had awoke? And had they modified him before setting him free? From what I had seen in the other rooms, the fox and her kind had been changing so very much. Those with hands had been helping those without. A quiet revolution sneaking up on us. As for what Wick had held back, it was there in the letter to find, I suppose, but also in clues along the way. Mord showed me what I was. For in one of the rooms, I had found what he had hid so ably and so well, lived with for so long. There was a mound of discarded diagrams and models for biotech, boxes full of withered away parts. Each one had some version of Wick's face, crushed, cracked, discarded, tossed aside, abandoned, discontinued. Wick had never been a person, but he had always been a person to me.